Well, what we're asking the state to do is to actually go ahead and treat private information as private information according to state law. The primary issue that we're running into is the fact that, yes, the state has indeed reached out to alternative agencies and asked them to input our private information. That is an issue. The primary issue, though, is that once that information is in the hand of the alternate agency, we have volunteers who are entering the in the information to the Maryland State Police over the open internet without using any encryption whatsoever. So I'll be very, very clear about this. What we caught the state police doing was enabling identity fraud. What we caught the state police doing was enabling identity fraud and identity theft by sending name, address, social security number, driver's license number, and other private information over the open internet without using any form of encryption to a website at the state police that used a common username and password. 100 people did not have 100 IDs. They were all entering the information using a set, a very small set of shared usernames and passwords. If this was a bank account, if you were doing bill pay, this is the equivalent of the bank using no security on their website. And anyone who sat between an intercepted communication or one of these transactions between any of these five agencies, over 100 people, and the Maryland State Police server, all of that information is exposed. That is the primary issue.
Have any evidence that any information was compromised, anybody's identity was stolen?
This is one of those items that when it happens, it's going to happen and you're not going to be able to trace it back. The issue that occurs is because the state police have no audit trail whatsoever, there's maybe 80,000 people in this database, and they say that they sent the information of between 38 and 40,000, I think is the last number they accounted for. 38 to 40,000 people had their information sent over the internet, plain text, completely open, unencrypted, and exposed. As a result, any of those people, or all of them, could have had their information compromised. As a result of that, we have no idea. You won't be able to tell this came from the state police because the state police had no control over the information. It could be on a Russian server right now. If someone grabs a loan or creates a credit card or, you know, goes ahead and transfers money out of your bank, we're not going to be able to trace it back. The other thing that happens is because there are zero audit controls that we're aware of, and the state police, essentially there's no way of auditing these transactions. If someone who actually worked for the state were to do this, were to take this information and sell this information, there is no way to verify that a state employee of the Department of Transportation even looked at the info because there are no audit capabilities. They broke laws, they transported Social Security numbers over the internet, unencrypted. That's a violation of state law. And there are multiple regulations saying that they should not, state regulations saying they should not be using common usernames and passwords. So, you know, it's not the state law and federal law is very clear. You don't have to prove that someone actually, that the identity theft was traced back to a particular case. State law, the governor signed a law in May that actually says, in the event this information is likely exposed, you have to notify the people whose information was likely exposed, and you have to let them know what they need to do to protect their financial affairs. That's what we're asking for. That's what we want. The state has been running around in circles denying that they even made a mistake. Look, I don't think this was malicious intent. I think it's a case of Keystone Cops. Don't care how it happened. Our goal is to protect the financial information of the people whose information was sent unencrypted over the internet.
There was a release just in the last week from the state police that at least the transfer using other agencies was that part of inputting the data was completed, and they've moved to the background checks. The background checks are being conducted by either state troopers or police officers from other agencies. The MDTA is one agency. The MTA police is another under the supervision of the state police. The process of having other agencies handle the data, is that the basis of this temporary restraining order? Is this practice still continuing, or is the state police just moved to the background checks as they've stated?
The basis of the temporary restraining order is to have the state police actually go ahead and honor the privacy that is expected of these types of transactions. So whether that is, hey, don't send this stuff unencrypted over the internet, and make sure that the people who have access to the information have the proper and necessary checks, the background checks required, in accordance with state police practice and law, that's what we're looking for. So it is a multifaceted approach. We have created a checklist, and we have told the state police, you either demonstrate today that you are now meeting this checklist. So there is a chance that they've actually corrected things in the past few days. If they have, good for them, good on us. We forced them to do it. But what we've asked for is you need to treat this information according to law, and you need to give it the correct privacy that is required. In terms of sworn law enforcement officers doing background checks, the law allows that in particular circumstances in particular ways. I would like to see the state police explain in detail. They wave their hand a lot. They're doing a lot of hand waving. I would like to see the state police explain what it is they're doing, how they're doing it, and how it comports with the law. At that point, you know, we'll evaluate whether or not there is whether we have an issue. But in general, I would say that law enforcement officers are our friends, and we don't necessarily have an issue with any law enforcement officer.
So I'm clear, the practice of other law enforcement officers other than state police doing background checks, that's okay. It's having the employees from the Department of Transportation, I think DHMH was one of the agencies they used, having those non-law enforcement agency employees input the data, that's where the problem is.
There is no problem with certain law enforcement officers under certain circumstances having access to this information. That is actually allowed under state law. There are cases where that may be inappropriate under state law. What we don't know right now is what the state police are actually doing and how it comports with the law. So that's one of our questions. So I don't want to make the blanket statement that it's great or it's not great. What we need to do is actually, again, we need the state police to open their books and tell us what it is they're doing with our information. And I don't care whether it's a law enforcement officer, I don't care if it's the Attorney General of the United States who's looking at this information and doing data entry. If they're doing data entry and sending it over, I don't care how much I trust each person on either side of the transaction, if you are sending it over an unsecure connection on an untrusted internet, it doesn't matter who's on either side of that transaction. That information is exposed. No, not at all. Again, if we get to what we want is the state police to treat this information and comport with law. If they do that, we will be satisfied. That's what we're aiming for. All we're asking for is for the state police to treat this information the way they would the privacy information of other people. Just because it happens to be gun owners, they seem to think that they can go ahead and hand out driver's license and social security numbers over the internet. That's not appropriate, and we need them to stop doing that or to prove that they have stopped doing it.
Thank you very much for your time today, Patrick. We'll be in touch. Take care.
Thanks, Robert.
See you, man. Bye-bye.